Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling, though passing through a veil of tears. Thy grace, O God, to him appears. And what follows, Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Peter 1. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, a grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them that signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. As seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, as see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord, we have heard precious and profound matters out of thy holy word on this special day, where in a special way we may commemorate the resurrection of thy dear Son from the dead, and that he liveth and is king forever. Then thou hast recorded much in thy holy word for our instruction, for our examination, and also for comfort. Ah, Lord, then it is recorded of those watchers who were bribed and have told a lie. cannot be different. That much of Jerusalem was troubled with that great earthquake and with everything that has transpired in the preceding days. Lord, may there also be troubled souls, many amongst us. And when there is no trouble and no concern, may it please thee by thy Spirit to work that trouble and that godly sorrow. Then it shall all become different, and Lord, that is thy work. And then they shall also become a seeker. Then on the day of the resurrection, then thou hast appeared unto thy church. And may there have come souls up in this day with that vehement desire, that prayer, that begging, that thou would also appear unto them as the Savior for their souls, our Lord. Those early seekers with a heart full of love, thou hast rewarded them with the first visit, a visit which they have never forgotten. Then further in the day, then thou hast appeared to the two travelers to Emmaus, and thou hast also visited Peter. But then in the evening hour, there was a church gathered with closed doors. They have heard wonderful things. They could not believe it. They could not embrace it. A troubled church, our Lord. Perhaps a few souls in our midst that have come troubled up to thy house. Oh, had such a desire. Perhaps a little expectation, much opening at the throne of grace, that they may receive a special visit from thee. And now the day is far spent. It is toward the evening. And then the disciples, with many fears, many impossibilities, but thou hast remembered them. Wilt thou then in this evening bless thy holy word to that end, that there may be souls that may receive a special revelation, a word, an embrace, and that is necessary in the life of thy people for the first time and each time by renewal. For the church. Thou hast done for them exceeding abundantly above all which they were given to ask or think. Wilt thou then be a wonder-doing God? Lord, bless the many labors to that end. Do continue to help the consistory who is sufficient to that end. Thou hast granted in the past week that the catechism instruction that we could meet for the last time, thou hast spared all. Well, to be the after preacher, and then in this afternoon, then we have met the last time for a regular class with the confession of faith class, all bind upon all of their hearts, and thou knowest what liveth in their hearts. We need to become a living member of the living church, of the living and resurrected King. Bless thy word in the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end, as they have promised, what the sacrament of holy baptism accompanied, with eyes upon thee, much prayer, and a godly and a genuine example. And do bless thy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou help the instructors, help the students, and continue to grant traveling mercies. We commend unto thee our denomination, the established churches. Do continue to uphold and remember the persecuted church. Remember the beloved for the Father's sake, also at war, with that bitter enmity. May it be used that many souls may be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Remember also the country of Ukraine. We remember our mission field, thy servants, the team, also thy servant whom in the day of tomorrow shall become callable. Then we commend them unto thee. And so we are given to see that the labors are manifold. May it please thee in thy divine favor, more servants for thy vineyard, a church worker, and also teachers for our Christian schools. Lord, we commend unto thee a young couple, a young man and a young woman who hope to be united in holy matrimony toward the end of this week, to begin life's pathway together as husband and wife. Grant them a place at thy footstool. May they be given to beg, that thou may be the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, that thou may guide, that thou may lead, that thou may help, that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom, a special request for thy special presence. It shall be a marriage in the context of an empty place. Lord, do remember and uphold all the mourning ones where to the grave were brought, young and old. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember our care home, the residents, and those that may lovely care for them. Wilt thou pour out thy spirit also in that place, and then by renewal we lay before thee all the sick and afflicted, the daughter in a faraway place, our Lord. May the time soon arrive that thou granteth great improvement, that she may partake of food and drink. Wilt thou continue to uphold father and mother and the family circle. Grant a special place at thy footstool. We commend unto thee the young father with the family circle that hope to travel. And then we humbly ask thee, may it all prosper in thy hand. Grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding. Oh, do grant them that special place at thy throne of grace, and that they also may be given to humbly beg of thee, that this affliction may be used for the saving of souls. Lord, remember all under the physician's care, fears and worries, overwhelmed. May they be given to tell thee all and humbly ask thee for thy help. Those that stand in need of healing and strengthening, may thou grant it. We commend unto thee all the handicapped. Remember and bless all the family circles. Remember the crosses and burdens. Remember land and country. We may still live in peace, although that spiritual warfare between the two kingdoms is intensifying. But, O Lord, may we be given to thank thee and acknowledge thee for all the good things which thou hast left in our midst. May they not have to testify against us. May it also be thy goodness accompanied with thy word, that may work that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. And so we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Anoint us with fresh oil from above, that with freedom and liberty we may be given to declare the wonderful works wrought by a triune God, and to be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people, where each service can be the last time that we meet one another in the land of the living. Wilt thou so grant a hastening for our life's sake? May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 427, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. The stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. And what follows, Psalter 427, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Peter 1 and there of the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our text words speak of a rich doxology concerning the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, with four thoughts. In the first place, the giver whom is praised. Secondly, the attribute which is exalted. Thirdly, the new life that is wrought. And in the fourth place, the lively hope which is upheld. A rich doxology concerning the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. The giver whom is praised, because we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The attribute which is extolled, which according to his abundant mercy, the new life that is wrought, hath begotten us again. And then fourthly, the lively hope which is upheld, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Beloved congregation, the Apostle Peter has addressed this epistle to the strangers. Have we now become a stranger upon this earth? Does not mean that we may not enjoy the temporal things. Does not mean that we do not have a responsibility. We have a calling. We must be diligent. God's word speaks of those things, and it does not mean that we must live as a hermit, although oftentimes when the Lord begins and he impresses divine realities upon our heart and that it all becomes real, then we can seclude ourselves much. Nevertheless, this epistle is addressed to strangers. And strangers are people that many times feel out of place, do not feel so at home. They are travelers to a certain country. Many times they are not understood by most of the people. When we think of Pilgrim's Progress, then Christian, he was called to go through Vanity Fair, and then it was noticed by that people that Christian and his friend, that they were strangers. They spoke a different language. It was evident with their clothing and also evident concerning the things which they were looking at and which they were purchasing. And now many times those strangers, they can feel alone, but there are times when they may meet other strangers to whom they may unburden their heart in this morning hour. Then we have heard of those women. Oh, surely in the early morning, when there was no one else going to the tomb, maybe a few people very early going to their fields or other places, but then together they were strangers. But what precious things they have experienced. And then Peter is given to open, elect, where the Father has elected the church. The origin of salvation. And of course, concerning those matters, then we always need to remember, because how we can be troubled, also those strangers, that there is a voice that says you are not a chosen one. Look at your heart, your life. But then we must always remember Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, that the secret things belong to the Lord, and the revealed things to us and our children, that we may remember His law to do them. And then further, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thus there we have sanctification and justification. It is necessary for the child of God that he may learn experientially that he must be distinguished, that is for their comfort, but they may never be separated. And then Peter in that text is given to speak of the word of a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the benediction, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And then we have the doxology of our text. And a doxology is an expression of holy joy and adoring homage to the living God. And then Peter is first given, when he is given to begin blessed, then Peter does not end in self. This epistle was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit did not bypass the gifts, the characters, and the experience of the author. And then, of course, we can all understand that the day of the resurrection of Christ, that was such a wonderful day, such an exceptional day. That was a day that Peter has never forgotten. At the moment he may be before the throne praising the Lord for the resurrection of the Son of God. Oh, what Peter has never forgotten that look, that weeping, that godly sorrow, but also that visit, too tender to be put into words, and therefore it is not written in the Scriptures what was spoken during that visit. But then undoubtedly, when Peter was given to reflect, then it was, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, with the doxologies, then many times there is spoken of the God of Abram, of Isaac, and of Jacob, of the God of the covenant. We read in Psalm 72, verse 18 and 19, with a doxology concerning the king, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wonder things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." And that does not mean, we have learned it in catechism, young people, then you can tell me some text where the Trinity is clearly declared already in Genesis 1 and many other texts. But in the New Testament, with the coming of Christ, then it has been revealed in a more clear way. And to that end, then our doxology speaks of the fountain of all good. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when it speaks of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then Peter could speak out of experience how that has been revealed unto him. Then we read in the evening of the resurrection that Christ has opened their understanding, that they understood the scriptures concerning the suffering and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Peter could tell how he has been led further, that with the ascension of Christ, that Christ has opened the way that his children may be brought back to the Father heart of God. And on the day of Pentecost, as we read in Romans 8, the work of the Spirit that he witnesses with the Spirit of the children of God, that they are children of God, and whereby they may say, "Abba, Father." And now when Peter is given to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," then it is his vehement desire that a triune God may be extolled. And I read in Romans 11, verse 36, "Of him, through him, and to him be all things, to be glory forever." And has the psalmist not declared in Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name be all the glory given, for thy mercy and for thy true sake." Oh, then Peter, when he was given to consider what has transpired on the day of the resurrection, that the shepherd has sought out his sheep, that has sent everything away, ruined everything, and now that his God, his master, was so faithful to seek him out, then it was his desire that the Lord may be honored. And then he is mentioned, because in our text words, "Oh, Peter." Do you know what he has learned, boys and girls? That if it's possible for Peter, that has denied his master, then it is, there are no impossible cases. Do you hear, congregation? no impossible cases, but we need to experience what Peter has experienced. And then he stresses three names, because there are people that speak much of Jesus, but that it cannot be seen that the mediator has become their Lord, their owner, that they have become a servant and handmaiden. Our second thought, the attribute which is extolled. And then we must not understand it, that Peter is speaking of mercy at the expense of the other attributes. The church learns that justice condemns, holiness frowns, power destroys and punishes, and that the truth confirms the threatenings. But, oh, Peter, in this doxology, then he is given to stress and to magnify the mercy of a triune God. And then, of course, the resurrection that is in the context may never be separated from the crucifixion of Christ. And now we read that Peter has not only spoken of mercy, but abundant mercy. And that word abundant, that refers to the number and to the degree. And that word mercy, that especially refers to having pity upon the miserable, but it also speaks of grace and pardon for the guilty. It is true, the Bible also speaks of common mercies. Psalm 145, verse 9, that the Lord is good for all his creatures and congregation, one in abundant mercies that the Lord grants unto us and our children from day to day. The psalmist in Psalm 140, verse 5, has said that they cannot be numbered. And may it be our prayer that those abundant mercies which the Lord gives so abundantly, so freely, and so undeservedly, that they may not bring us further from this word, but that they may bind us more to the word. And as we read in Romans 2 verse 4, that they may lead to repentance. But now Peter is given to speak of abundant mercies which the Lord gives to his people, to those strangers. Oh, on the day of the resurrection, what mercies the Lord has given to his people. Mary Magdalene, the women, travelers to Emmaus, Simon Peter, and in the evening, a church. Maybe there are a few such souls. Ah, that have begged the Lord on this special day for a special word, a special visit, maybe a little expectation, and that in this evening you have told the Lord, I am now still like those disciples, with an unbelieving heart. Not that they have not experienced anything. Closed doors, many fears, maybe even a closed heart. But, ah, Lord, may it please thee to speak what thou hast spoken to that church, that I may behold the Savior with his pierced hands and pierced side, and that the Lord may speak peace. Then I shall be the happiest soul in the whole congregation. And then I may also say, although only in part, not to compare to what Peter has experienced, but when the Lord comes over full as full, and then the cup may overflow, and then they become a praising people, and now those abundant mercies in the first place, then they are covenant mercies. They come in the way through the covenant when the Lord works. Then they are also given to examine that point, whether the blessings they may receive, that they may come through the merits of the covenant. In the second place, they are righteous mercies, because we read in Psalm 85, verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It's through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. In the fourth place, they are experienced mercies. The life of the true children of God is not only in their mind, but it is experienced in their heart, the wonderful things of free and sovereign grace. Oh, if we would meet that church on the day of the resurrection, let us mention those travelers of Emmaus, then they could tell us how those mercies have been experienced and revealed, and of course, surely, a Simon Peter. Then in the fifth place, they are continual mercies. Promises for the church. Psalm 138, verse 8. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then further, then they are prayed for mercies. Think of the Psalms, how often we read that the psalmist have prayed for mercies. Think of David in Psalm 51. He has asked that his sins may be blotted out according to the multitude of the Lord's mercies. And then finally, they are everlasting mercies. We read in Psalm 136, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Ah, for the church. Have you thought about it, congregation? That on the day of the resurrection and after the resurrection, that the Lord Jesus Christ did not visit the unconverted, but only his people. My unconverted fellow travelers, May that now bring you in the need, and that you may be given to beg, because those mercies, they may still be proclaimed that there is mercy for the chiefest of sinners, but it needs to be experienced, needs to be revealed, and needs to be applied. Let us first sing. Psalter 232. Let us sing 1 and 2, and if necessary, the third. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people, he will speak. And what follows, 232, 1 and 2, and if necessary, also number 3. Rich doxology concerning the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. The giver which is praised, the attribute which is extolled, And now thirdly, the new life that is wrought. We read on 14, verse 19, because I live, ye shall live also. And now as a fruit of the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, because of that abundant mercy of a triune God, then Peter was given to speak of his church has begotten us again. That is the new birth, which is also compared to a resurrection from the dead. Oh, a dead person does not hear, does not see, does not feel. A dead person in the grave begins to stink. But now the new birth is compared to a resurrection from the dead. We find that explained in Ezekiel 37 of the valley of dry bones. And I read in John 5 verse 25, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And then everything becomes new. And when we read in our text, hath begotten us again, then it speaks of that new resurrection and also the life of sanctification and the life of the people of God. But now our forethought, the lively hope which is upheld. And then it is clear in our text as a fruit, because it says by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then it speaks again unto a lively hope. That word can also mean a living hope. And now when the Lord begins that good work, then the Spirit, we read in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, that he grants those graces of faith, hope, and charity. Then the Lord grants a living hope. And that living hope, that is in God. Many earthly hopes, not wrong, of course, when they are not sinful, but an earthly hope that centers around self, our neighbor, only for the time, and they shall all come to an end. But now that heavenly hope, which Christ has merited for his people, and there is actually much of Christendom in our day where there is actually no room for hope, because they have such a strong faith, not to speak good of unbelief. That is the greatest sin. Small thoughts of God does not glorify God. But there is a Christendom that has such strong faith that they possess everything. Thus, there is actually no room for the grace and the exercise of hope. I read in Romans 8, the verses 24 and 25, for we are saved by hope. And we hope in what we see not. For what a man seeth, what shall he hope for? But since we hope in what we see not, we in patience wait for it. and now the Church of God. They are oftentimes, the Lord grants that hope, that they do not despair. Matthew Henry, he has stated in the life of a true child of God, then that grace of hope that keeps them from despair, and their fears that keeps them from presumption. I read in Job 5 verse 16 that the poor hath hope. And now for the true people of God, they are oftentimes given to examine their hearts whether their hope is the hope of the true people of God. And they are given to search the Scriptures what that true hope is. Because that true hope, which the Lord by His Spirit grants to a child of God, that has many enemies, and to that end, concerning that hope, I read in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, because our boys and girls can understand it, when there is war, then the enemy tries to shoot the arrow at their heart or at their head. And to that end, in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, to have the breastplate of faith and love, that those arrows may not penetrate the heart, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And now hope has many enemies. Oh, in the first place, that awful unbelief. Our day they say you have to believe. That is the command. But it nowhere says in the Scripture that of self we can believe. And oh, that the child of God experiences that prayer of that Father in Mark 9, verse 29, Lord, I believe. Or verse 24, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That is not a strange matter. Then another enemy, oh, that is the devil with his questions, with his assaults. Or do you think, congregation, what those women on the Sabbath day, that the devil has left them alone? Oh, it is the joy of the devil to pester his child. But he is an enemy that can do no more than the Lord permits. The cross of Calvary, he has been conquered. Oh, the temptations of the world. Another enemy of that hope is when the Lord is so silent. When he does not confirm it, when he does not grant further instruction, when it becomes night, another enemy, to say it reverently, the providence of the Lord. When in the Lord's providence, it seems that everything goes so contrary to what the Lord has promised. Oh, think of David. He knew, never forgot, when he was called from behind the sheep and Samuel has poured that anointing oil that he would be king. But There were times that it seemed that he would perish. Also delay what an enemy against hope. Let us mention Abram. The promise of a seed. Promise Messiah in a seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Many prayers have been sent up. Seemed they were not answered. Became more impossible. And then we have mentioned the temptations. How do you think congregation was with Abram? After he has said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, she is my sister. Oh, then how his hope must have faded away. And yet, 'tis the Lord, the work of the resurrected Lord to still uphold. It is true. We have mentioned that text in this morning. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But still the Lord has a people that learn that they live not by them holding on to the Lord, although they may be given to plead upon what the Lord has promised, but they learn that they may live because that the resurrected Lord, even before that, they learned that the Lord holds on to them. What are now the marks of a living and a lively hope? Because that can be the question of those truth-seeking souls. Because in Job 8 verse 14, it speaks of the hope of the hypocrite as a spider's web. Read of that hypocrite in Job 27, the verses 9 and 10. But then there are special marks. Will he always delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon the Lord? And to that end, a few marks of a hoping soul. In the first place, then we may speak of an active soul. Ah, that is a people. Even though there are those voices, might as well give it up. It's evident. You are not a true child of God. So many perplexities, so many times expectation, you were disappointed, not always. Because, oh, is a faithful Savior for his people. And I read in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 that the Lord is faithful, that he will not suffer his people to be tempted above that they are able to bear. And to that end, that true hope, that is an active hope, that is a praying soul, expecting souls, though they do not know how it can be, because the Lord has granted that hope in beginning, and he keeps that hope alive that they despair not. Then in the fourth place, it is a waiting hope. Not passive, but active, using the means, although there can come times that it comes at a low ebb, and that they are afraid. that they have not that living hope. When it may be lively, then it is not a question for those souls. Then they may be given to rejoice, but it can come so low that they are afraid, that they do not have the true hope. And yet, those souls shall ask, Lord, wilt thou then grant that true hope? Because I can miss much upon this world, but I cannot miss thee, and I need the pardoning of sins. The next place, it is a godly hope, because that living hope that sanctifies, they become conformable to the image of Christ, a hatred of sin, a loving of God's attributes, his word, his house, his law, his people. They become jealous of the true people of God. And further, it is a thanking hope, a rejoicing hope, that people may rejoice with that pearl of hope. It is true, it's not the Savior, but it is a gift of the Savior, and to that end, that lively hope that needs to be further instructed in the precious things of the Lord. And now the continuance of that hope. Then in the context, then Peter is given to continue, to be given to hope and life eternal. That inheritance, those mansions which Christ has merited for his people. Oh, the blessed portion of the people of God, congregation, where are we traveling to? Can be the last Easter that we have upon the earth. Where are we traveling to? What is our hope? Is it only in the timely things? Shall all come to an end? Is it a hope that we shall yet be converted? That needs to happen today, because tomorrow can be too late. Oh, what shall it be to have rejected the Savior, refused to repent and to obey, and then to come to the place where prayer need not to be made, and where hope shall never, never come, shall be too late. But it may still be declared, oh, seek then the Lord while he may be found. And now for the people of God, a prepared place for a prepared people. Oh, for that inheritance, undefiled, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And concerning that hope, that faith, that love, oh, Peter has received a special meaning in his life. Also in the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection. kept by the power of God. Oh, the Lord, the Savior, has kept Peter from despair. Judas has taken his own life. Oh, may we be kept, because there is hope in the Scriptures and with the Lord. Kept by the power of God, then the Lord has kept him that he did not just fade away in his deep misery. Oh, kept by the power of God, then he has received that visit, young and old. There is one thing needful. Oh, the precious things of the Lord, the sweetness, even in that seeking. Walford Florida said in a sermon, if that seeking is so sweet in that hope, and the Lord has a people that knows that it is so, they would not want to trade it for all the riches of the world. Even when they may be a poor one with that hope in the living God, they need to be instructed further the wonderful things of the Lord. And then we read in Hebrews 6, verse 9, which hope we have as the anchor of the soul. We must close, but to make it clear, boys and girls, when there is a ship with an anchor, a big, beautiful anchor with a strong cable, and the captain, he places that anchor on the deck of the ship, then children, you can understand it, that anchor's not going to help. That anchor needs to be cast into the sea that it may take hold of the sea. And therefore, also a lesson for the church. All the experience cannot be missed. But that is not where the anchor must be. That must be in the Word of God and His promises. We shall close what the psalmist has declared in Psalm 71, verse 14. And may that be granted. Where the hope is missed, may the Lord work it. Where the Lord has begun, may He further it, strengthen it. May there be that praise. Then the psalmist has declared in Psalm 71, verse 14. That is a psalm for the elderly. Those elderly ones in our midst, declaring the possibility. We do have an example in the Bible, the thief on the cross, but boys and girls, only one example. But the psalmist has declared, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Amen. Let us close. Lord, where that living hope is missed, wilt thou work it in this day? Oh, when that may be heard, then there shall be gladness in the church. But Lord, that living hope that needs to be upheld, and that it continually becomes a lively hope by the work of thy Holy Spirit. And then for thy church to examine where their hope lies, all wonder-doing God. Wilt thou then glorify thy great name amongst us and our dear children? We are all traveling to eternity. We do not know whether we shall see each other in thy house on the coming Sabbath day, but, oh Lord, we may humbly beg of thee, do care and spare us in the home, at work, on the way, at school, wherever we are called to be, Take us under thy good care and kind protection. Keep us from sin and temptation. Wilt thou grant unto parents a week of preparation concerning the sacrament of holy baptism? Wilt thou grant prayer for one another? Remember all the sick and afflicted ones. Pardon us of all of our sins with an acknowledgement that thou wast given another Lord's Day, and yet some few words to speak. Ah, Lord, do bless it for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 381, the stanzas 3 and 4. O Lord, enthroned in glory bright, thou reignest in the heavenly height. The proud in vain thy favor seek, but thou wast mercy for the meek. And what follows, Psalter 381, 3 and 4. Save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.